Welcome to Stories of Hope. This is a podcast by the Dream Center,
where you will hear from people who have stories that once seemed hopeless.
People whose stories of redemption and life transformation are so powerful, they can only be possible by the power of Jesus.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Stories of Hope. I'm Sarah and I'm here again with Brady.
Hey guys.
And this week we have Allison Rainey with us. Allison used to be a lady in our Opportunity Village. She graduated about a year or so ago. And we're going to chat through her story, how she came a part to be of our Dream Center family, kind of where she is now. Hey, Allison, so happy to have you again.
I
love this.
I'm glad to be here.
And it was funny because just months ago, we sat down and talked through an interview with you that we posted on social media, and it got a lot of attention. So I'm really excited to talk to you more and really dive into your story and hear more about things.
Yes.
So kind of tell us about what you're doing now. What does life look like for you?
Okay, so right now I am, I work for a local construction company, HK Construction. I have a house in downtown Greenville, raising my sweet little 2-year-old and getting to spend some time with my older 2 boys. I have a shared custody of them with my ex-husband. So, you know, life right now is great. I've been really enjoying just spending time with my kids, and I enjoy my job. I love my job. I love my work family. Making lots of memories, me and my family and all of the kids in our family have been doing so much fun stuff. We went to the beach in September, and then me and my mom and sister went on a cruise back in May, and so we just been, we went for a weekend in Charleston. I'm going to Florida next month.
My gosh, you're just living it up. This is incredible.
Wow. Yes, it is. It really is, and I'm so thankful for it, because without God and His guidance and all of those things, I wouldn't be where I am today. So
right,
yeah, I love seeing you happy and smiling. You were one of the first residents that I met. Mm-hmm. And I remember picking you up from the resale store and being in the car with you, and your energy was incredible. I remember I got out and I talked to one of the other OV team members that time. I said, I love Allison. I don't think I would talk to you just being around you. I'm like, I love that.
Yes.
So you made a great first impression on me. Great first impression.
Yes. Yep. I do remember that day. I do remember. And I love meeting new people. So I'm just and then also I'm crazy anyway. So, I'm always laughing and talking and, all that. I love being around people and enjoying life. Yeah.
It's definitely a gift the Lord's given you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
Amazing.
Yes. So Debbie used to tell me, you're bold and you're courageous.
And you are.
Let God use that.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Preach.
So tell us a little bit about your time before coming into the village. Talk about kind of what it was like growing up, or kind of before you met Jesus. Just tell us a little bit about your life.
Yeah. So I was raised basically in church, in a local Baptist church, going to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, and youth retreats and mission trips and, activities at the church. And so I, was always aware of Jesus and God and involved in the Bible. And, it's only really honestly been until recently, in the last couple years of my life that I've really understood, we won't ever always understand everything, mm-hmm. God and how incredible He is, and the blessings that He can give you and the miracles that He can work. And, so I was raised in church, and, I didn't have anything crazy happen, in my childhood. I mean, my parents divorced when I was very young, earlier than I can remember. So I kind of grew up with, my mom and dad not being together. I spent a lot of time with my aunt and uncle. and so I would say I was 17 when I got pregnant with my oldest. It wasn't a good situation. I got out of that situation shortly after Bryce was born. And then I met a man who eventually I ended up marrying. And we were together for about 10 years, married for 2 of those 10 years. And so when Bryce was about 7, I had Jackson. And so Jackson is 6 now. And I started struggling with my addiction, right? It was actually like right around, I was already, when I first started like doing drugs, it was just more like a recreational type thing. Like,
right,
you know, it was just like, not necessarily like the cool thing to do, but like mm-hmm. I was around people who were doing it and I'm just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, yeah, I'm gonna do it too. So, and then I found out I was pregnant with Jackson. And so obviously, you know, those things were cut out. And then after I had Jackson, in 2018, December of 2018, DSS had got involved in our lives. My cousin had just gotten killed. And so that was, I was already struggling with my addiction at that point. It had shifted from being like a recreational type thing to not wanting to deal with like, yeah, everyday life, like just wanting to like numb the pain or the worry or the angst or whatever. And so then DSS got in our lives that December, and my kids were placed with a family member temporarily. And then of course that like dug me deeper into my addiction, because you know, like my kids at that point, I was like, they were my rock, they were my yeah world. I was already struggling with life, you know. My aunt had overdosed and died a few years previous to that. So yeah, there was just a lot of things that kind of dug me deeper into my addiction, just because, I don't know if it was really because I didn't know how to deal with it or how to cope with it, but I just didn't want to. Like, it was just like, I didn't want to feel those feelings and that pain. Yeah, so then I, shortly after our kids were placed with somebody else, I just packed up my car one day and just left and didn't really have a plan. Obviously, I didn't know it was going to turn out like it did, but I just, you know, I was struggling. I was really struggling. Yeah. So, you know, basically, my ex-husband met the requirements from DSS to, you know, get the kids back. I knew that I wouldn't be able to, because part of that was, you know, multiple drug tests, and right, I had a drug problem. So the boys were able to go back to him, and they were living with him, and I was just in the streets, just lived in my car for a while until, you know, till my car got towed for a stupid situation. But you know, and in that point, it was couch to couch, hotel room to hotel room, living in a tent, literally living in a tent. So yeah, and then I found out that I was pregnant, and I was like, oh my God. So I was very deep in my addiction at that point. I was actually, my addiction had shifted from being like physically dependent to pain pills to heroin, because it's cheaper. I was, you know, it worked better. So I was very deep into a heroin addiction when I found out I was pregnant. And at that point, I had tried to get clean myself. I had tried like moving into sober living houses, yeah, and I had tried to even, I had went to my ex-husband's house and I was like, lock me in here, you know, like, don't let me leave. I don't think I ever made it more than like 9 days though. Mm. And, so I didn't want to be living the life that I was living. I was right, absolutely miserable. And I just felt like there was no way out. There's not a lot of resources out there for people that are suffering from addiction, just because you got to have money, you know, yeah, rehab right, and stuff like that is not cheap. So I found out I was pregnant, and the reality of it took weeks for like the reality of it to like, mm-hmm, you know, truly hit me, because at that point in time, the only like from the time I woke up to the time I went to sleep, all I thought about was drugs. Like, right, that's all I wanted to do. And so you know, I had been wanting out of the lifestyle. I didn't want to live like that anymore. And then I found out I was pregnant, and I continued to use until I was about, I think I was like 5.5 months pregnant when it literally like, bam, like the thought just came into my head one day and was like, you can get Medicaid and Medicaid can pay for your rehab. And I was like, oh my God.
Right.
So immediately I'm like, I get on my phone and I'm Googling like the top 5 rehab facilities in the state of South Carolina, because it's dangerous to detox off of heroin, but it's even more dangerous when you're pregnant.
Right.
You know, like the safety and, you know, the life of the baby that you're carrying is just so dangerous. So I knew I needed to get into a treatment facility that was capable of like safely detoxing me off of everything that I was on. And so I chose the Charleston Center, and had to jump through so many hoops to get into the Charleston Center. At that point, like, I didn't talk to my family, you know. I didn't talk. I had completely cut off communication with my family. So I didn't really have any help. I didn't really know what to do. So I had to figure it out myself, but I knew it's what I wanted. And so I did whatever I had to do. So it was like, I would say like 4.5 weeks from the first time I called them till I got the phone call that's like, we can accept you. Can you be here on this day at this time? And I was like, I will make it happen.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do whatever I got to do. So that was a blessing. And then I had a little bit of a snafu right before I was scheduled to leave for rehab. I was involved in a situation that police got involved in. And then I found out that I had a warrant for my arrest. And so I was worried. Obviously, you know, when you feel like you're about to go to jail, you start freaking out. And so I'm like, you know, can I use your phone? I need to call my family. At this point, I had reached out to family because I needed a way to Charleston. So, but I did have to call and let them know, like, hey, I'm going to jail. But, you know, it ended up being that the officer was like, you know, I'm not going to arrest you, but I need you to promise me that you're still going to go to rehab. Mm. And so I was like, I was shocked, and I was like, yes, like, you know, because I was so, for like those 45 minutes, like after I was told that I had a warrant, like I was so crushed.
Yeah.
Like I was so crushed, like I'm not going to be able to go to rehab. So that was really a miracle from God that happened, because that's unheard of. Like you don't interact with police and find out you have a warrant and not get put in handcuffs and go to jail.
Yeah, right.
So 2 days later, I left for Charleston and went to the Charleston Center, which is actually part of the MUSC hospital. And so I was there for, I think it was like 45 days. I could have that wrong, but I was there for, you know, some weeks. And so then I came back home and obviously turned myself in for my warrant, because I didn't want, you know, trying to turn over a new leaf and get my life together. Like, I didn't want to come back and, you know, like be looking over my shoulder.
Yeah.
So, which was a completely different experience than any other time I'd been to jail. Like, any other time I'd been to jail, I was like detoxing off of like everything I had been using. And so this time it was like, it was almost like peaceful, you know. Man. Like I was literally like in a cell by myself for like 4 days,
and
I
just only like Jesus can do.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes, like I was able to like take afternoon naps. I read my books. I prayed. I talked to Jesus. I read the Bible.
Wow.
Like it was. I felt like I had like a little mini vacation.
Kind of hate that we're making prison sound so nice.
I know,
but it's not. It's not, definitely. Jesus that pulled that one off.
Also, my mind is like blown that you said, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf, and that started with turning yourself into the police. You know, like it just, that's so fun to me.
Yes. So, I went to rehab, came back, turned myself in. Mm-hmm. While I was in rehab, my mom was like frantically searching, you know, for me to go somewhere. She's like, you can't come back and go back to the streets, because that's not going to work. So she was like, here's this name and number. Give this lady a call. And it was Miss Joni.
Oh, Saint Joni.
Yes. She's so precious. She's so sweet. And she was just, you know, I kind of told her my situation, where I was at, what I was dealing with, and she was just so sweet and so encouraging. Like, you've never met me before, and you're like, I love you.
Yeah, and she does.
She does.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I went through, I had multiple interviews that I had to go through once I did come back. Met with a few different staff members. And at first, I was told that I wasn't going to get accepted into the group that was about to move in, that they wanted me to come in with the next group. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had already been struggling with the reality of, you know, I'm not going to have a baby and not be able to take care of it.
Right.
And so, because that's not fair. And, you know, so I was, you know, the reality of the situation was that adoption might have been my only option. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I got that phone call that they decided that, you know, this group wasn't the right group, I was really, you know, broken. I was really like, wow. You know, this is really about to happen. Like, I'm really about to have to, you know, give my baby up for adoption. And I was obviously distraught. And Jessica was like, it's going to be okay. You could still come. You can just, you know, it'll be with the next group.
Yeah.
Like, well, what am I going to do until?
I'm about to have a baby. Yeah.
Right. Right. Like, I have a baby take care of. And then, you know, I don't know how much time there was between that, but then eventually I got a call back and they were like, well, we've changed our mind, mm-hmm. and you know, we think it's okay for you to go ahead and move in with this next group of girls. And there are not words to describe, mm-hmm. I just felt wrapped, you know, like just wrapped up and like comforted and like just knowing, like, I've literally felt like Jesus was like giving me a hug, like, you deserve this. Aww. Like, and so, yeah. And so, I moved in here to the Dream Center when Eric was 8 days old. And what a blessing that was. I knew that coming to the Dream Center was going to be life changing.
Right.
I just had no idea how God was going to be able to use the Dream Center and the staff at the Dream Center to get me to where I am today. And it's still I wake up sometimes and I'm like pinching myself because I'm like, is this real? Like, is this real? Is this my real life right now? So yeah, I came through the Opportunity Village program, took some classes with some great teachers, mm-hmm. like life skill classes, spiritual classes, you know, and I was joking around yesterday talking to the ladies, and I'm like, I know that the financial class and the meeting with your financial coach, I know it's going to be difficult. I know that you're going to dread it every day. I said, but listen, that is one of the most important and most beneficial things that I learned here, because that was not something I was taught, you know. Like, I didn't know anything about budgeting. I didn't know, you know, obviously, like, you need to save your money and not spend it on, you know, useless stuff. But I'm saying, like, actually sitting down and like creating a budget and using a template and like holding yourself accountable to all of that. And so that's made a big difference, and that's a lot of the reason why I am where I am today financially. But yeah, I took some great classes, had some great teachers. I, you know, got to develop friendships with awesome Dream Center staff. I love all of y'all. And, so yeah, I just, you know, spiritually, I just yearned for more every day. I really do. And I'm just so happy. And it's not just happy, it's joy. Mm-hmm. Like that deep down, like, life is great. God's got me. Like, that kind of joy. You know, and if it wouldn't have been for the Dream Center and the teachers and the staff kind of helping me figure out, like, what it's like to have a relationship with God and how you don't have to, like, pretend to be anybody else.
Yeah,
like, you just, like, you literally just have to be yourself. Like, just talk to him. Just trust him and put faith in him. And, you know, I've heard that my whole life. But when I, you know, when I was actually like shown how to do it, almost like, let me help you, let me walk this path with you. If you have questions, if there, you know, I'm here. And so, you know, all of that. And, you know, God is amazing. Like, God is absolutely amazing. He's worked so many miracles. And, you know, somebody asked me the other day, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I'm like,
right.
You know, that's a loaded question, because mm-hmm. like, wow, you know, I could tell you where I'd like to be, but then God's going to be like, watch what I do.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Watch wow. where
yeah.
I take
yeah.
you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because I never would have imagined that I was here.
Yeah.
That I'm here, you know, doing what I'm doing and on the path that I'm on, and just fully living in my identity as a child of Christ. And it's, you know, like, ooh, I have chills. Like, it's just, it's amazing. Like, it's the magnitude of, you know, just everything that comes along with faith in Christ. Like, it's almost unexplainable. Like, there almost isn't enough words or the right words
right.
to truly explain, like, what it feels like to be a follower of Christ and trusting in God and his plan. And, you know, I do my quiet time every night, and I've learned so much about myself. God has taught me so much about myself and about him and about what he's capable of mm-hmm. and his faithfulness and his grace and his mercy. And yeah, so I pass, you know, I'm enjoying passing that information to my boys.
Yeah,
I love
right.
when they're struggling with something, I'm like, you know, we'll pray about it. Or, you know, Jackson's, bless his heart, he's has a little bit of an angry side, you know, mm-hmm. and so sometimes he gets in trouble at school for fighting or, like, you know, hitting somebody. And I'm like, love each other. Like, God created
right.
us to love each other. And if you're angry, pray to God and tell him, God, please, I don't want to be angry. Like, please help me not be angry. Mm-hmm. And yeah. so I just really enjoy getting able to, like, teach them and show them the ways of being a Christian and being a follower mm-hmm. of Christ. And, yeah. you know, it's just, it's amazing. Like, I'm loving life right now. And I'm so thankful for God and what he's brought me through. Because, you know, I've been in some unimaginable situations and state of minds, and so yeah.
It truly is so beautiful too, because, like, I told you this a few weeks ago, but looking at your story before and seeing you now, like, and like you've said the whole time, when you give your life to Jesus and he starts to shape who you truly are, when you come to him as you are and he starts to shape you from your vulnerability and just being you into what he has designed for you, it's like, sitting here looking at you, I'm and I met you a few months into the program, so
right.
I didn't see you right when you came in and with Eric and everything, but I sit here and I'm just thinking, how in the world is this the same human being?
Right.
But yes. also, like, thank the Lord that your life has been what it is up until now, because you now have this different, completely different foundation
yes.
in who God is
yes.
than I do. And hearing your testimony and your story, I'm sitting here of, why would I question the Lord
yeah.
at any time for any reason?
Right.
Absolutely.
Just like knowing you and being able to do
right.
any kind of life alongside you, I get to see the realness of who God is.
Yes.
It's
absolutely.
Crazy.
Yes, it is. And so, like, to piggyback on that, like, one of the great things, one of the amazing things about God is, not only can he heal your brokenness, but he can also heal you in a way, like, where you think back on things that you have been through and
right.
you don't feel that pain anymore. You don't feel, like, that sorrow or that
shame,
hopelessness or shame
yeah.
or guilt. You don't feel any of those things. And so I am grateful for everything that I've been through, because
yeah.
it that is why I am who I am today. You know, God used all of the experiences and all of the things that I've been through, like you said, to build a foundation for who I'm meant to be.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's unfortunate that I went through some of the things that I went through, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like the end of, you know what I'm saying? Like, I look back on it now and I'm like, you know what? That happened for a reason, you know? So.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. Even today, literally, I almost had Smite give me my phone. But like the verse of the day today is where it talks about like discipline from the right source
may be
painful in the moment, but what it will do for you in the long run and how good it is for you is worth every bit of.
Oh yeah.
So it's like every little thing that you had to go through that was hard and hurt and the correction and turning your, like all these things, it's good for you to sit through it, because eventually, I mean, literally the first like 2 minutes of the podcast, if you say in like your home, where it is, where you're, like all the things you get to do now.
Yes.
Like that is a direct result of you making these decisions through pain and getting corrected by either human or the Lord. And now it's okay. Great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, thank you so much.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely.
Beautiful.
I just love your story. Cause I remember when I first started working here, there was a couple times where I think I had this with all the residents. At one point it was a little tension, a little tough, just being resident manager. It comes with that. But now, like, I don't think we would ever do that again. You know, because I feel like we've both grown so much and like with each other and with Jesus. And one of the parts that I love the most about your story, that when we talked about a few months ago when we were doing the big social media post campaign, was your idea and concept of God during the rough time of your life. I kind of like want you to talk a little bit about that, because I feel like that is such like a I don't know. I feel like it's like a really powerful testimony of like your perspective of your life and God before, like how you, like you did grow up in a good home and like had like, you know, idea of God. And then that gap of like, am I actually like in my own, my own hell? Yes. You know, like, I think I want to touch a little bit about that, because I think it's so powerful.
Yes. So I would say in the deepest, darkest time of my addiction, and I mean not the physical, I'm talking about like the spiritual, the emotional, the mental, like that deepest, darkest time. And obviously this thought process was influenced by, you know, the use of drugs and you know, the grasp of, or lack of grasp on reality, you know. But I would literally think to myself, this can't be life. This cannot be life. This is not supposed to be happening. This is not, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is not life. This is not what life is supposed to be. And then I would think about, have I died? Have I already died? And this is the hell, this is my hell, this is the hell I deserve because of everything I've done and everything I've put my kids through and everything I've put myself through. And it would literally, and it's so hard to explain, I really would truly have a hard time feeling alive, you know, like I really truly thought that I was dead and living in my hell, that this was my hell and that this was what I deserved. And at the time I didn't really realize what was going on, but I just remember, like, I would just go outside and I would look at the stars and I would be like, surely there aren't stars in the sky in hell,
right?
Like, come on, you know, surely there's not stars in the sky in hell. And so, you know, looking back, I didn't, like I said, I didn't realize it at the time, but like looking back, that was God letting me know, I'm here. I haven't left you. I've never left you. I've always been by your side. Sure. I'm here. And here's how I'm going to show you and remind you that I'm here.
Jeez.
So look at all the stars in the sky that I put there.
Yeah.
I put all of those stars there. All of the millions and billions of stars in the sky.
Yeah.
Do you not think that I created you for a purpose, for a greater purpose than what you're going through right now? And so it was kind of just like, you know, God, like, hey, I'm here. Whenever you're ready, I'm here. I never left and I never will, because the stars never leave the sky, you know? So yeah, that, you know, that is what got me through like that deepest, darkest, most hopeless
yeah.
time in my life.
Jeez. Okay. I want to read that verse. I had somebody give me my phone. It's Hebrews 12:11. It says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterwards there will be a peace. There will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So I mean, wow. like insane. Wow. And you're literally the whole time you're talking, I'm sitting here thinking, one, thank you, Lord, that that's the verse of the day today when we're recording this.
Right.
But your life is such a testimony to that scripture
yes.
being true and helpful and right. And so good night.
Yes.
It's just crazy.
Yes. And so discipline is, you know, that's important.
Yes.
When it comes not to just life, like basic life skills, but yeah. you have to have discipline in your faith, and you have to have, accountability. Mm-hmm. And
absolutely,
you know, that's part of faith. That's yeah. part of, because I have my faith in you, Lord,
mm-hmm.
you deserve for me to sit down and read your word every night.
Yeah.
You deserve way more than that. But, you know, that's the type of thing I think about, like, late at night when I'm sitting, like, getting ready to sit down and do, like, my devotion and have my quiet time. And I'm always, like, so tired, you know, like, so tired. Eric right. is wild. And, you know, after working all day and then coming home yeah. to, like, a tornado in my house that just constantly is bouncing off the wall.
Yeah.
So I'm so tired. And, you know, I'm like, dang, I would really just want to crawl in the bed and go to sleep. But, like, having discipline to sit down and have my quiet mm-hmm. time, that is... God loves that.
Yeah.
God rewards that. Like the verse says,
yeah.
you have to have discipline. And in doing so, you're rewarded beyond what you can even imagine.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, like, even financially, you have to have discipline financially
mm-hmm.
right.
in order to do the things that you want to do or accomplish mm. the things you want to accomplish. You know, jeez. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. All year this year, I wouldn't have been able to yeah. move into my own house. I wouldn't have been able to, you know, by December go on like 5 or 6 vacations. Like, but it's yeah. because of God, and it's because I have discipline, not only in my faith, but in my yeah. finances. And those things are rewarded
yeah.
beyond what you can ever imagine.
You're also, when you're taking the time to like sit down and spend time with him, you're going into a book about a guy who says, come to me all who are yes. weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest regardless of what's happening.
Yes.
So you're sitting down to spend time with a guy who gave us this humongous book all about him.
Right.
And in some of the most important parts, he's like, just come to me and I'll yeah. give you exactly what you need.
Yes.
And, so,
and when you surrender to that, when you truly surrender all of yourself
mm-hmm.
to him, it's just... it's mind-blowing what he's capable of.
Yeah.
It really is yeah. mind-blowing. Some of the struggles that I've been through lately, you know, deep down, I still am happy. Like, I still have
yeah.
joy, and I still trust in the Lord and trust that he will provide and he will take care mm-hmm. of me, because look what he's already done.
Yeah.
You know, look what he brought me from. A hopeless... or, you know, I felt hopeless, worthless, shameful, you know, all of those things, unworthy of love. If he brought me from there, he can get me through filming this podcast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, there are no limits to God's power and the miracles that he will work and the blessings that he will bless you with. Only we put limitations on that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we don't set limitations, God will literally blow your mind.
Come on.
I love that we're talking about this, because this morning I was reading Exodus about manna, how the Lord is like, gather for today, don't gather for tomorrow, because right. you'll have to trust tomorrow. And I think that speaks a lot to your story, because like, he gives us enough for today.
Mm-hmm.
We have to trust that he'll provide tomorrow.
Right.
But he's given us everything that we need for today.
Beautiful.
Yes. And it, because we know that he will send mm-hmm. the manna tomorrow, we don't have to stress, gather, live in like a scarcity mindset of like, yeah. am I going to have enough hope? Am I going to have enough faith? Am I going to have enough just to make it through? It's like, you have enough
yeah.
and I'll give you enough tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I'll give you enough the next day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just be at peace and just, you're going to get through the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I think, and I truly believe that, you know, That's another thing. That's another part of having faith. Like you have to show God on a daily basis that you have faith in him. You have to live every day and make your decisions every day, your plans every day, trusting in him.
Beautiful.
And when you do that, when you do fully trust in him every single day, that's like when the door of possibility opens.
Yeah.
Because you don't worry about what's tomorrow going to bring, or what am I going to face tomorrow? Yep. Because you're like, you know, nothing that God's not going to get me through.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's amazing.
Those who seek, find. Those who knock, the door will be open. Like,
yes.
He's sitting there waiting for you, but you have to.
Right.
You have to come to him.
Right.
He's been there the whole time. You have to make that decision.
Right. So, let me tell you. Okay, so this just popped in my head, so obviously I'm supposed to talk about it.
Amazing.
So when I was living in transition, and, you know, I would sit down and do my devotions every night. So I had only been in transition for a few months when I started praying, God, I need you to start guiding me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to start praying to you now, because, you know, it says in the Bible many times, pray fervently. I'm going to start praying now for you to have an opportunity ready for me when it's time for me to move out of here. And that you're also going to prepare me from now until then to be ready for that opportunity.
Right, right.
And let me tell you how stressed I was when it came to like closer to time. So it's like 3 months before it's like time for me to move out, and I'm stressed. Like, God, I've been praying for months. Like, I've been asking you for months to help me. And I'm like, you know, just got a little bit frustrated. Not that I didn't trust that something would come up. It's just like the unknown and being fearful of what's about to happen.
Mm.
So let me tell y'all. So this is amazing. And this is God 110%. So I start thinking about like, what are all my resources? Because, you know, maybe it's because I haven't actually actively pursued all of my resources. Maybe once I do that, then God will reveal to me where I'm supposed to be. And so I started doing that. So I started looking at like income-based apartment complexes and resources like that, a few different ones. I can't think of them right off the top of my head. So I went into this one building and I'm like, you know, I kind of explained, gave them like a snapshot, like, hey, I'm in a transitional housing program, got to move out soon. Can you help me? And she was like, well, we can't, but if you'll go right across the parking lot to, I can't even think of that. And if you'll go right across the parking lot and go here, maybe they can. And I was still a little bit discouraged because I had already like tried. So I go into this place and she's like, well, we only help people pay their rent. Like, we help with, like, if you're short on rent, like, you can come to us and we'll help you. And I'm like, well, crap, that's not what I need. And she's like, but she was like, we do have this other, you know, this other opportunity that not many people qualify for, but you can at least fill out an application. And I was like, okay, cool. So I filled out the application. This was at like 10:30 in the morning. I got a call at 2:45 from the director of the real estate division of this company. And, you know, I explained to her my situation and she's like, well, I need you to come in tomorrow and we'll sit down for an interview and we'll talk about it or whatever. So I go, we sit down and she's like, well, let's just go ahead and do their paperwork. So, you know, she ran like a credit check, a background check. And so I was honest with her about everything up front.
Yeah,
like,
for
obviously,
sure.
Like, that's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
So we're like sitting there chit chatting while we're waiting for like the background check to come up back and the, you know, credit report to come back. And she had to fax like employment verification to my boss. And I called him and I'm like, hey, I need you to do this now.
Yeah, right now.
So he did. Anyways. She tells me while we're waiting for all of these things to come back that this particular property has been empty and they've been trying to move in a tenant for months, but nobody seems to be able to meet all of the qualifications. And So there was also like an income qualification, and that's where most people got disqualified because you had to make a certain amount to qualify for the house. Whereas most housing resources are, you don't make enough, so let me help you.
Yeah, right.
So anyways, by the end of that, like I was approved to move in like 24 hours, 24 hours from the time I walked in the door till she was like, when are you ready?
Oh my gosh.
And so like, that's another thing. Like it didn't work out for any of the other people because it wasn't for them. It wasn't meant for them. And all I had to do was go out and, you know, God took me right to where I was supposed to be.
Yeah, right.
Literally right to where I was supposed to be. And I was approved in 24 hours. A property that's been empty for months, that's had multiple applicants.
Man alive. Yeah.
So it's just like that's those insane. Sort of things. And it's just like, wow, you know, like God is truly amazing. Like, He really is. And I was stressing. I'm like, dang, God, you really do got me.
Yeah, right.
You've proved to me again.
Jeez, I hadn't heard that part of the story, so that's amazing.
Yeah, me too.
That's so cool. Wow. Goodness.
Yeah.
I heard a pastor one time say, he was talking about how some miracles just seem like all of a sudden. Like in 24 hours, you got a house and all this, all of a sudden, just all of a sudden. But no, the house has been occupied, unoccupied. For months.
Yes. Yeah.
And things had to happen for the house to be unoccupied.
Yeah. Yes.
Situations had to happen so no one else could move it. So your miracle wasn't all of a sudden. It was God on the back end working. It just happened all of a sudden.
Right.
What I think is super cool.
Right.
There's that sovereignty again.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that was another, you know, I mean, God would have provided either way, but that was another like, that was like confirmation for me. You know, like you prayed for God to provide an opportunity.
Yeah.
You've been praying for months. It was like 7 months that I prayed for that. And it's like, you know, that right there, you know, is showing, you know, discipline and faith and trust and, you know, that, you know, that I had my mind in on the right things. You know what I mean? Like not just waiting until the last minute and being like, oh my God, I don't have anywhere to live.
Right.
So,
I'm also pretty sure 7 has something to do with like completion or something like that. So,
seven
makes some sense.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. So,
man, your story is, I could do this 1,000 times over. And it's just so encouraging. And just thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. So, like, I don't know. The only thing that would be better if Eric was sitting on the table,
Eric.
Around.
We would not be able to sit here. We'd be able to do anything.
He's so sweet.
He is.
I love him to death.
He's wild. He is. So. He's a sweetheart. And last night he just wanted hug after hug after hug.
Oh my God.
And I would hug him and he would wrap his little arms around my shoulder and he would push his cheek up against my mouth because he wanted me to love on him.
So sweet.
I was like, oh my gosh, where is all this coming from?
I love it.
He's such a good boy.
He's the best.
Oh, I love Eric.
He's the best.
Yes, he is. He's getting his first haircut tomorrow. I'm super excited about that. Time flies. I can't believe he's already 2.
Yeah,
you know,
crazy.
He's already 2, and you came in at 8 days.
Yes. Yeah,
8 days.
Wild.
Yes,
crazy.
Thank you, Lord.
So crazy.
So cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for chatting with us and telling your story. And it's always really encouraging talking to you. Yeah. I feel like always so much more like uplifted and just more at peace after talking to you. So I'm really glad this is just a great thing to do on a Friday morning.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Yes. So evident.
Well, he is all over you.
Yeah,
all
he really
over.
Is.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. Well, that is it. We will see you on the next episode of Stories of Hope. Bye.